May the Lord help us to commence this afternoon by singing hymn 420. 420. O bless the Lord, my soul, let all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favours are divine. Hymn 420.
Bible reading this afternoon, let us turn to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. And we'll begin reading at verse 14. We'll read down to the end of verse 40. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. And we'll begin our reading at verse 14. This following on the exhortation to obey God from his past dealings with the children of Israel. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for ever. We'll leave the reading of God's word there this afternoon. May we have been instructed through the reading of it together, and be given that help now, each one of us, to truly pray. Most holy and merciful Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, we bow before thee now in prayer on this annual occasion. And may we truly be brought to bow before thee this afternoon. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one true and living God, that has ordered all events in our lives through another year of time, and brought us again to worship on this occasion. And may it be so, Lord, that is the purpose why each has gathered here this afternoon, to worship, to offer up those sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving, to be humbled before thee, the one true and living God. And so as we come, give us a little understanding of thy power and might. Give us a view of our insignificance and humble us before thee. And yet lift our eyes and affections and fill us with that true praise and thanksgiving that such unworthy sinners have been brought through another year surrounded by many mercies. And may it be the case that we know and have that sweet hope in our hearts that another year gone on this earth is another year nearer our home. Lord, we pray that we may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, for this is life eternal. And as we are drawing to the close of another year and we can look back through it and we see how frequently our minds have been occupied by everything else other than thee. Lord, we sin and we come short of thy glory. We have to prove how weak we are. Yet may we prove also that we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us. So we thank thee for thy kindness to each and every one that has gathered here today. And yet, Lord, we pray that we may not gather just as people, but that we may know the presence of thy Holy Spirit, that he may indeed come and dwell with us, may shine that light upon the word, may apply it with power to the hearts of one and another so that we do not leave as we came in, but we leave bettered for our worship together. And we leave having done that which we should have come for, to worship thee. So we pray for those that are hungering and thirsting this afternoon. May they be filled. We pray for those that are not hungering and thirsting. May they be given that desire. We pray for any, Lord, that are dead in trespasses and sins, that they may be made alive, and that this day may be a true day of thanksgiving. But Lord, thou alone knowest where each and every one are in their daily lives and personal matters, and in their souls as well. And do suit thy word for many varied cases today, so that we, having sown that seed which thou wilt give us to sow, may, if it be thy will, see that fruit from it. But Lord, we would pray for those that are unable to gather with us together this afternoon. Lord, there are those in varying needs and are hindered from coming for one reason or another. But we pray especially for our friend David Parrish at this time. Lord, in thy perfect will, thou hast seen fit to lay him very low. We give thanks for that success in the operation on the past Monday, and that measure of strength that has been renewed unto him during these past few days. And if it be thy will, Lord, do continue to grant that renewing of strength unto him and that healing. But chiefly grant him that submission to thy will, and to see that it is thy hand that has brought him low, and give him grace to say, it is good that I have been afflicted. So do be with him and draw near to him in hospital at this time, and others, Lord, that may be unwell, others with secret trials or illnesses or difficulties, Lord, we pray for them. And may we be a people that truly bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But Lord, we have those chiefest of burdens. We have the burden of sin. And Lord, no man can help us with that, save the God-man, Christ Jesus. So those that are weighed down under the weight of sin today, oh, unburden them, we pray, so that they may find that rest for their souls. Those that are thirsty, Lord, may they come and find that which their soul desires. O Lord, for we do not know how long our days on this earth will be. But while our strength remaineth, may we give them, Lord, to Thee. And Lord, as we gather on this occasion to especially commemorate the harvest that has been gathered in, Lord, we thank Thee for the seasons that we have and that another harvest has been gathered in. That we live in a climate where we can, ordinarily speaking, expect a bountiful harvest. But Lord, we know not how Thy judgments will fall out upon this land in years to come. But may we, while Thy mercies are poured out upon us bountifully, truly render praise unto Thee. But Lord, give us eyes to truly see what we are given outwardly, but not to rest contented because we live in a land of peace and prosperity, but to plead with Thee that personally, collectively, as churches and as a nation, we may once more be turned and know the rich harvest of souls in this land. Lord, we are weak in so many ways, where we have strayed from Thy word. Lord, give us eyes to see it. And when we are given eyes to see it, Lord, give us courage to act against it, so that we may be walking in that narrow way that leads to life eternal, and not in the broad way of our own opinions, in the broad way of destruction, so that we may be found while our days remain upon this earth to be true followers after Thee. We pray for all those that preach the word in this place week by week. Lord, Thou knowest their needs as they stand here. We pray that the people may hold them up in prayer, may know there to be a true living ministry here, may not be left to grow lukewarm, but that this may be a church and congregation that is growing in numbers and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May the gospel be boldly proclaimed from this pulpit in all its fullness. May Thy word be edifying for the people here. May that be continually what is preached and set before them. Lord, for that alone will set their hearts aflame. Lord, we pray for all those as they expound the scriptures. We pray for our brother here in the ministry this afternoon. Do help him in that which is before him in the coming year, if it be Thy will, as he takes up his role at Haynes. And do be with his family. Give them that continued settlement in their new situation and surroundings, so that they may be happy and glad that Thou hast brought them to their new home. But Lord, we pray for others in that situation too, as they come to our mind, Lord. Do make the way clear for others that have to take up pastorates in the coming months. And we pray especially for Tim Parrish in this regard, as with those mountains and obstacles before him in the coming months, make the way plain, we pray, so that he may be delivered to where thou hast called him. But Lord, supply the needs of the people here too, so that they may have that faithful ministry to them, and may know a pastor settled once over them. So Lord, as we gather round thy word together this afternoon, may any distracting thoughts be removed from our minds. May we be led into the truth of thy word and be encouraged and strengthened together. We pray for the young people and children here this afternoon, on a Saturday afternoon where they, as the Lord says before them as well, may be disappointed to be here. Lord, may there be something that they profit from today and may be encouraged as they gather. And may our preaching be accessible to them so that they as well can be thankful on this day of thanksgiving. So Lord, we pray now that in all aspects of our worship thou wilt guide and direct us. As we sing thy praises, Lord, may we sing from the heart. As we have read thy word together, Lord, may there have been something that has caught our eye that we will have to take home and reread and ponder. As we have prayed together, may we have felt that true confession, that true thankfulness, that true uniting together. And now as we stand to preach the word, Lord, may we be given that liberty in proclaiming that which is laid upon us, and the people will be given those ears to hear, so that all may be done for thine honour and glory. But Lord, we come unitedly as sinners, some that know it and others that don't. Oh, help us and help everyone to rightly confess our sin, to see what we are, yet to not pore on it too long, but to find our eyes by thy Spirit drawn to a precious Saviour, with that knowledge that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. So may we know that double cleansing from sin's guilt and its power. May we know the blessing of justification and sanctification, so that we are indeed conformed to the image of thy dear Son. So bless us together now, we pray. May we truly be thankful for all thy many mercies, humbled before thee, as we plead now that thou wilt be with us. Join with us, Lord, we pray, so that we may know and feel thy goodness going before us. Lord, help us all. Forgive everything that we have asked wrongly. That which we have forgotten to pray for, may have been prayed for by one and another, and our prayer be a united prayer. For we ask all in and through thy precious name, dear Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 1100. Let worldly minds the world pursue, it has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace has set me free. Hymn 1100.
help us each here this afternoon as we turn to his word. I'll ask you to turn with me, please, to the chapter that we read together in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And the words that have been upon my mind are the first five words in verse 35. But I'll read again from verse 32. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and the first part of verse 35, but I'll read again from verse 32. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, signs, wonders, war, a mighty hand, a stretched out arm, by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Unto thee it was showed. In this book of Deuteronomy, we have recorded in the first few chapters God's gracious dealings to the children of Israel. And from these first four chapters, we then have two chains that run through this book. And maybe you children could have a look at it sometime, if you felt minded to do so. But we have two words that continually keep on popping up throughout this book. One being forget not, or forget, and the other being remember. And in this chapter that we have read, in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, we see it in verse 9. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. We see it again in verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God. We see it again in verse 31. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers. And it goes through and carries on throughout this book. And as we come to another annual event, a harvest Thanksgiving service, we should, but seldom do, take that time to remember and forget not all that the Lord has done. Because why did Moses encourage the children of Israel to remember and forget not, and point to those varying events that had taken place in their lives? Because it brought to their remembrance again the one true and living God, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and that there is none else beside him. And I speak for myself personally, but I'm sure there are many that could agree with me. In the era that we live in, we rush and dash and tear from one place to another, doing this, that, and the other. And one of the biggest problems is we do not take time to sit back and remember what the Lord has done. Now, I do not think it is right when we look back at past generations and long for their lives. I would not want to be a coal miner in the 19th century, where I had to start work at 6 o'clock till 6 o'clock in the evening, 6 days a week. But when they got home, yes, there would have been things to do, but they wouldn't have had the distractions we have. We are living in a world of distractions. We have technology which we can access things at with such speed, so that our minds are constantly flitting here, there and everywhere. And it is to our detriment that we do not take time to reflect on what the Lord has done. Because Moses didn't do this for Moses' good. He set this before them for the people's good, so that it would keep them from falling into idolatry and worshipping anything other than the one true and living God. So may the Lord help us together this afternoon to look back at what the Lord showed the children of Israel. And may He enable you and I to look back in our lives to what He has shown us. Unto thee it was showed. It shows in the account of the children of Israel how weak we all are, doesn't it? To be delivered like they were, to see things that they saw, to have blessings like they had, and yet to fall away. It shows our nature. It shows we need those constant reminders. So as we look at what the Lord showed them, we will try and look at it in three ways: in creation, in providence, and in salvation. So we cast our minds back to the children of Israel, working as slaves, making those bricks, doing hard work day after day after day, unrelenting pain and punishment it would feel to them, longing to be delivered from their enemies. And Moses went up to Pharaoh, confronted Pharaoh, and said to him, "Let my people go." Moses had to go up, didn't he, and speak to the children of Israel and say to them, "I am the Lord," the message from God. "I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." And those children of Israel watched the God of creation. They watched, didn't they, the rivers of water turned to blood. They saw God's power in turning that which was wholesome and good into that which was repulsive and was an impossible thing to do. They saw all the created fish in those rivers die and stink. They saw later on, didn't they, those plagues of frogs, those plagues of lice, those plagues of flies. And as we go on, the plague of hail, the plague of locusts. Time and time again, they looked and saw the power of God in nature. And you may say, well, we don't see rivers turn to blood. We don't see plagues of locusts, plagues of frogs, and everything else. We don't see anything spectacular. We just see normal seasons. You may say this afternoon, if I did see something remarkable, then maybe I would believe in God. If I could be like Peter and could see a great storm arise, and with the other disciples see it calmed in a moment, if I could see God's hand in creation, maybe then I would believe in God. But do you not see? Well, if you haven't got eyes to see it, you will not see it. But can you not see all about you the marvels of creation? How finely our minds and our bodies are tuned, so that with one little thing, if it goes out of sync, we are in serious trouble. Can you not marvel at the birth of a newborn baby and how it grows and develops out of seeming nothing? Unto thee it was showed. And as we gather at another harvest season, can we not marvel at God's covenant promises? That there will be seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat. And you know that it will get colder now. You know that in a month's time we'll have a frost, quite likely, and the temperatures will lower. And you know that next year, if our lives are spared, it will warm up again and the days will lengthen. And can you not marvel as we are showed these things year by year by year, the faithfulness of our God and his power over everything? That's what the psalmist David could see, wasn't it, in Psalm 8. As one evening he opened his door, we can imagine, stepped outside, and he saw the moon and the stars which God had ordained. And he saw the many millions and billions of them all held up in exactly the right place by something. You know, people say it takes great faith to believe in a creator God. But it takes even greater faith to believe in everything came from nothing. Oh, may we be as David. When we consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, may we say, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Who are we? May we be those that remember through another year that we have been shown God's hand in creation. Job knew what it was, didn't he? That dear man, he had his questions for for God. That God didn't really answer apart from saying to Job, look at the wild goats. Look at the wild asses. Look at this. Look at the grasshopper. Look at the lion. Look at the sea. Look at everything round about you. And he was brought to marvel at his God through the power of creation. So that Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Unto thee it was showed. But closely linked into God's hand in creation, can we not see through another year of time, for us all, God's hand in providence, providing us with that which we need? The children of Israel could, couldn't they? If they were given minds to remember, to see how the Lord had provided for them. Let us go to the Red Sea. Let us go to Exodus chapter 14. They have seen God's hand in creation with the rivers of blood, the lice, the flies, the frogs, everything else. They have praised the Lord for setting them free, so that they can go their way. And then they hear the chariot wheels in the distance. They know that they are being pursued by the enemy. They look to their left and they see mountains are impassable. They look to the right and there's no way of escape there. They know the only way they can go is forward. But the Red Sea is there. There is a problem. They need the Lord to provide. And what happened to the people? The children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. But what did Moses say? And maybe this is a word to you today as we ponder what the Lord has shown us. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So, they had a problem. Nothing could happen. How could the Lord provide for them in this way? There is no way whatsoever they can escape. And maybe that's where you've been in this past year. And you've had to see, as it were, Moses' rod lifted up, being stretched out over the sea, and a way being made for you to go through. Not a literal Red Sea. But do you know what it is? In this past year, to have had that before you, and there's no way through. But the Lord has appeared and shown you a way and shown that he is all powerful. Unto thee it was showed. But more than that, what a great deliverance. The way had been made. They could go through on dry land, but go to where? And yet maybe you've been delivered from something. But what did the children of Israel need now? They've been delivered, but they needed direction. But did the Lord leave them being delivered without direction? No. No. The seas were divided. They went through. But then what? They had, didn't they, that pillar of cloud by day, that pillar of fire by night. They had that to show them the way. And dear friends, we don't look and should never look for pillars of cloud and pillars of fire, because we have something far better. We have His word. We have all that is required to guide and direct us in this life, if only we had eyes to see it and faith to believe it. We have it all before you, on your shelf in front of you. The Word of God. The children of Israel, they saw God's hand in providence delivering them. They saw God's hand in providence directing them. And we hope that it has been the case with you this year as well. But the children of Israel also knew. They were shown God's hand in salvation. Have you been shown that this year? Unto thee it was showed. They had many enemies to confront, didn't they? And maybe we should look at that for a little while. Exodus chapter 13, we read, don't we, about some enemies, or as they were being led on. Exodus 13, 17, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. In that verse, we see God's deliverance from enemies. But an enemy that was unseen. Dear friends, you and I are kept from many enemies that are unseen too. And your life this year may not have gone through the land that was near, as it were. It may have gone through many twists and turns. But be in no doubt, the Lord has delivered you from many enemies. Because God's restraining hand has been kept upon every one of us. You and I are great sinners, whether we see it or understand it not. But God's restraining hand has been kept upon us. For we would have fallen into the depths of complete and utter depravity left to ourselves. And your life going through this twisty, turny way this past year, if it has been of the Lord and the Lord has been in it and through it, where has it brought you? To your knees. Where has it brought you if you're one of His children? Nearer to Him. And what will that do? Deliver you from many enemies. We don't like the twists and turns of life, but we need to be kept from those enemies. But sometimes, like with the children of Israel, it is shown to them that they must face their enemies, that their enemies must come before them, and they must fear. And they must tremble. We think of the case when Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. In Exodus 17, Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." Sometimes we have to come face to face with our enemies. Sometimes we have to do battle. Sometimes we have to be like Moses and be brought to continual prayer to be kept. And to know those ones to come alongside us. The Aarons and the Hurs to hold up our hands in times of need. We need a deliverance. And it's not nice when we have to do battle with the devil. But have you had to prove that there is a way of escape? I think of the lines of that hymn. Hymn number 795, where it says, doesn't it? Mighty enemies without, much mightier within. Thoughts we cannot quell or rout, blasphemously obscene. Coldness, unbelief and pride, hell and all its murderous train. Threaten death on every side and have their thousands slain. Thus pursued and thus distressed, ah, whither shall we fly? To obtain the promised rest, on what sure hand rely? Shall the Christian trust his heart? That, alas, of foes the worst, always takes the tempter's part, nay, often tempts him first. But we build upon a base that nothing can remove, when we trust electing grace and everlasting love. Victory over all our foes Christ has given with his blood. Perseverance he bestows on every child of God. For when the Amalekites came up, the Lord remarkably delivered them, and they recovered. But further on in their wanderings, it wasn't those natural enemies, as in men, and that they had to fight against, and that was troubling them. It was those fiery serpents, wasn't it? Sometimes, dear friends, and we hope for every one of us, it will be shown, if it hasn't been shown, that we have been bitten by those fiery serpents, that we have been bitten by sin, and that we, unless we look to the brazen serpent, unless we look to Christ, we will likewise perish. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You may have been shown this past year God's hand in creation, God's hand in providence. But have you seen God's hand in sending his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? For you're in trouble this afternoon if all you have seen this past year is a God of creation and a God of providence. Be thankful for it if you have seen it. But if you haven't been given eyes to look to the Son of Man, the Saviour of sinners, you're in danger. You will perish. Enemies about. The enemy, Satan, is like that roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he does not like the Lord's people. He does not like anybody to ponder the mighty hand of God in any aspect. Unto thee it was showed. So, this verse doesn't end here though, does it? Unto thee it was showed. Why? That thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. He is an omnipotent God. He is all-powerful. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? There is no sinner too great for God's mercy. The love of Jesus Christ can cleanse all from sin. He is an all-powerful God. But his power, dear friends, is not a blind power. Because he is also an omniscient God who knows all things. And may this be a comfort for you this afternoon. If you have doubt the way that the Lord is leading you, he is all-seeing. Psalm 139, the Psalm of David there. He was overwhelmed by God's seeing all things. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, he said. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Dear friend, this afternoon, as throughout this year, the all-powerful God has not been acting in blind power, but with that all-seeing power. He knows your down sittings. He knows your uprisings. He understandest your thoughts afar off. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. And he is also omnipresent. He is everywhere. And he is that covenant-keeping God. He was with the children of Israel as they wandered through the wilderness. He was with every other character in the Word of God. He said, didn't he? I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. He is close to us now. He knows us. And he will be close to his people all steps of their journey. What did he say? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It can't be any closer than that, can it? He is near, was near to Abraham. He was near to Moses. He was near to Noah. He was near to all the disciples. He was near to all those godly women watching him die. He was near them all. He is ever present. He is a faithful God. Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. So as we draw our thoughts together this afternoon, Have we been shown anything this year that has made us know that the Lord, He is God? We've got to be honest with ourselves here. Look back to a year that has gone. Have we known anything of the Lord, that He is God? Or were we like many of the children of Israel, who knew deliverances, knew the mighty hand of God, but looked back and desired the melons and the cucumbers of captivity? Are we still those that are serving gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone which neither see nor hear, nor eat, nor smell? You know what they are in your life, if you do not know the one true and living God. And left to ourselves, we each have those little gods. But they can't help us in the day of tribulation. They can't help us in the time of trouble. They can't help us when everything else about us fails. But there is one. Know thou that the Lord, He is God. He has, as He had then, a chosen nation, He has now a chosen people. Each and every one of us have been favoured to sit under the sound of a gospel ministry and to be taught that the Lord, He is God. But have we been shown it? In creation, in providence, and above all, in salvation. Humbled before the cross of Christ, so that we can say, why? Why mercy to me? But know that there is mercy, and that mercy to overwhelm us. We sung, didn't we, firstly, this afternoon, that hymn 420. His wondrous works and ways He made by Moses known, but sent the world His truth and grace by His beloved Son. Unto thee it was showed. Have we been shown that beloved Son? Could you sing? And I mean, really sing the first verse of that hymn. O bless the Lord, my soul. Let all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless His name, whose favours are divine. O bless the Lord, my soul. Nor let His mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness, and without praises die. The only way you could sing that hymn would be if it was showed to you that there is a one true and living God. Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. May we all be brought to worship Him. Amen.
The collections today are for the Savannah Education Trust, and tea will be served on both sides of the chapel. Let us close with hymn 172. 172. Jehovah's awful name revere, in humble praise with holy fear, in glory throned, divinely bright, all worlds are nothing in his sight. Hymn 172.
and merciful Lord God, may we be led to remember and forget not what thou hast showed us of thyself. And yet may we be led more to be shown more of thee, and therefore be led to worship thee and to be humbled before thee. So bless thy word unto us each, we pray. Do what is needful for it to do in thy sight. Be with us now between the services. Be with those that now leave. Be with those that will stay. Be with those that may come and worship this evening. May we know thy presence continually with us as we prepare for thy day. So forgive everything that has been wrong in our worship, and bless that which has been of thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.